Hello.
Hello, sorry, I forgot to plug the microphone in again.
That's alright, don't worry. Fucking, that's a fucking disgrace, man, again. I'm fucking, that's two fucking days that they've ruined the mine this week. They really have.
Tactician, but, you know, sorry,
mate, it's just clicked on there, sorry about that.
And the stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Well,
Manchester, brace yourself. Rangers are coming!
Hi everyone and welcome to the next episode of the iReady podcast. As ever, I'm your host Derek and with me is my co-host Dave. How are you, Dave?
Derek, I am tired and I'm raging. That's what I am. I'm tired because I was night shift last night and I've stayed up all day and I'm raging because I've just sat and watched that pish and we're recording straight after it. I think this is the first time that we've actually recorded a main pod straight after a match, and for the second time in a week, the club that I love more than anything has just severely pissed me off. I don't know if you feel the same way as me, Derek.
I'm not too happy. I did get a quick video reaction pod out just after the game, so well, you can listen to that as well if you've not already done so. But yeah, not the greatest of games we've got to cover, unfortunately, this week after it being very positive over the last obviously all season so far. But we'll get into that in due course. So we've got three games to cover. That's the Spartak, the Aberdeen and the game tonight as well against Kilmarnock. So I'm guessing we just better batter on down the tunnel and onto the pitch.
Yeah, go for it, mate.
So the first game we've got to cover was on Thursday the 25th of October. It was at home to Spartak Moscow in the Europa League Group G Game 3, and it was a nil-each draw. So I say it was a bad result. It was, the best result of the three, wasn't it?
It was, yes. But again, Derek, very, very frustrating to watch. Having all the ball, having a lot of chances, being the better team, but just not being able to capitalise.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a feature of these three games, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So we lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Goldson, Worrell, Flanagan, Jack, Ejaria, Koulibaly, Kent, Candeias, Morelos. On the subs bench, we had Fotheringham, Katic, Halliday, McCrory, Gresda, Middleton and Lafferty. Now, certainly a strongish team, one of the stronger teams we could have put out.
Yes.
The one surprising omission, I think, was given our next game was against Aberdeen in the Cup, we had no recognised strikers. Sadiq wasn't even on the bench.
No.
So we'll get into that in the next game anyway.
Yep. But yeah, definitely. Certainly
you would have been thinking, yes, it's a European game, it's a very big game, maybe an issue about putting him in. Certainly wasn't expecting him to start, but at least maybe put him on the bench to get him some game
exactly,
time.
Exactly, yeah, I know.
But anyway, in the first minute, there was a corner whipped in from the right. Goldson got a skiff of a header off the ball into the middle of the box and it went out for a throw-in in the far side. So that was a good chance for us, but unfortunately couldn't capitalise. Mm-hmm. Second minute, Worrell tried a back pass, but it was woefully short, leaving McGregor having to come out well out of his box to get the ball. I think it was a wee bit more heart-stopping than it actually could have been, to be honest. I think, fortunately, McGregor was well aware of it, so 18th minute was a free kick floated into the box from 30 yards on the right, missed by about everyone and nearly fell to us with the break of the ball but couldn't quite get onto it. 22nd minute, it was good skill getting the ball forward on the counter attack. Morelos on the left played a good pass into the box, find Candeias, caught in two minds whether he kind of should have crossed or shot it. It looked as if, I still don't know what it was to be honest, but it went wayward anyway. All he really had to do was look up and square the ball, and I can't remember who was in space, but he was unmarked in acres of space in the box. Yep. And a really, really good chance squandered there just by,
yeah.
I don't know if a rush of blood to the head, he got caught in two minds, or he was a bit greedy, I don't know.
Yeah, it was a strange one, Derek. As you say, it's you know, hindsight's a great thing, but as you, exactly like you said there, if they just had a wee look up, it'd have been a fantastic opportunity.
Yep, absolutely. Played out the next kind of 20 minutes or 15 minutes or so. Corner in from the right from Tavernier on the 42nd minute. Worrell had a header, making the keeper make a save. Still wasn't cleared, came back out to Tavernier. He whipped it in again, but this time cleared. 43rd minute, Kent had a long range effort safely in the hands of the keeper. So really, overall, the first half we played very well, I thought, without really creating too much in the final third. We were closing down, we were tackling well, we were getting the break of the ball in midfield. I think that was caused by, you know, us playing well and closing the players down, but we weren't getting really anything in the attacking areas.
Yeah.
We weren't giving Spartak much time in the ball. I think Ajaria, Kent, Morelos looked lively. We just needed that wee bit more cutting edge, and Spartak were there for the taking.
I take it, Derek, you're just going to sort of, you know, if you were writing an essay, just sort of cut out Spartak Moscow and put Aberdeen and Kilmarnock for the next two.
I think we might,
because,
as well,
because this is just going to be identical to the next two matches, isn't it?
Yeah.
As you say, having all the ball, playing well from defence into midfield, and then as soon as we get anywhere near the box, it just, you know, it falls down, doesn't it?
Yeah. It was just really disappointing to see. We were there. I mean, we're there, thereabouts, and I know we're playing on a much bigger stage. We're mm-hmm. you know, I think I said in the reaction pod, we're punching well above our weight. We didn't expect to get this far.
No.
To be playing how we're playing, and we're still top of the group, which we'll get into, is incredible, but disappointing.
And Derek, it is, but that result against a team like Spartak Moscow, although disappointing for us having all the ball on the plate, it is an acceptable result, isn't it? It's we would, as you say, at the start of the season, if we said we were in this position, we wouldn't believe anyone. So, I mean, you know, I've said it before, I'm delighted we're there. And as you say, at half time at that point, the way that we were playing for it to be 0-0, we were all feeling quite hopeful for the second half, weren't we?
Absolutely. Spartak made a double change at half time now. Obviously, you only do that if you're really thinking that you're playing crap. So, certainly, I think it largely worked for them. They played a wee bit better in the second half, and they were closing us down a wee bit more. But in the 49th minute, was a long header by Goldson on the halfway line. Ended up coming to Morelos on the edge of the box, dropped the shoulder, lost his man, and had a shot from an angle from about 10 yards, but enforced a save from the keeper. 51st minute, it was a decent claim for a penalty after the defender had a wild clearing kick. He got the ball, but he also taken the man as well. But there wasn't any claims really from the players, so you know they weren't claiming for it. So obviously couldn't have been much of a chance. 53rd minute, Spartak had a corner, tried to cross it in, and I don't think it even made the edge of the box before going out for a goal kick. It was the most bizarre corner and you know most pathetic corner I've ever seen in my life. It wasn't even if it was a really windy night at all or anything like that. It was just a really bad corner from there. I think that maybe summed up Spartak's night.
Yes.
In the 56th minute, it was a cross from the right by Spartak. Not sure what Tav was trying to do, but the Spartak player managed to lose him. He managed to put in a cross, caught the attacker unaware, it seems, and it came back out to the Spartak player, but he was on offside. Kind of poor defending there, I felt. You know, Tav, I don't know what he was doing in terms of his marking, but, you know, clearly nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, there's been a few instances of that where he's either he's marking or he's tracking back again. Derek is starting to creep back into his game, unfortunately. There was a few incidents tonight of that also, which I'm sure that we'll get into later, but a worrying sign for him, because he was starting to sort of screw the nut when it came to his defending and his marking, wasn't he, for a period, but it's starting to get back to the way it was before, unfortunately.
On the 57th minute, Candias had a curling shot on the deck from 20 yards. Keeper managed to make a save. 61st minute, there was several chances in and goal with the keeper making some save. Some of them were more acrobatic than I think they really needed to be. Spartak couldn't clear it, but we couldn't find our man in the box either, and the ball wouldn't settle down for us. It was kind of good sustained play though, and it was good pressure, which has been a feature of these three games and a lot of the games so far this season. But we are able to sustain a lot of attacks but really do nothing with it when it really matters. So 66 minute, Morelos got the ball on the right, cut inside the box, had a great cross on the deck. It was an open goal, but the ball came too quickly for Koulibaly to react. He only had to stick his leg out. Koulibaly, I think that maybe summed up his game because tonight for that match, because I don't think he was playing particularly well considering how we know he can play. So
yes, another player that we'll get into in a wee while. I think there's a few players, Derek, that are maybe needing a wee couple of games out, if you know what I mean, just to, I don't know, to freshen up or, you know, to give them a new perspective or whatever. But we'll get into that after the three-game review.
Yep. 67th minute, Jack came off and Gresda came on. 69th minute, there was a thunderbolt shot from 25 yards from Spartak. It was right at McGregor and a comfortable save. However, once again, our defence had backed off and allowed the opportunity to shoot, which is really worrying for our defence because it's happening so often, and that's how we're losing a lot of goals, by our defence just backing off and allowing the attackers time on the ball. 70th minute, Morelos had a weak but awkward shot in the box, hit off the underside of the defender's leg, fell to Gresda, but the keeper managed to get down and punch the ball away. Good chance there. 77th minute, was lovely skill by Kent on the right, stepping over and getting the ball through two defenders. It was brilliant from Kent. That was incredible bit of skill from Kent there. He cut the ball into the box. Our attacker was tackled in the box. It was a claim for a penalty. I kind of don't think it was. It fell to Tavernier in the box, who blasted it over the bar. A really great piece of skill from Kent, but Tavernier really should be doing better. Putting the ball on target at least. 85th minute, Candace came off and Middleton came on. I don't think Middleton done much in the game, but you can't really say much for only given like 5-10 minutes. 94th minute, Gresda put the ball over the bar after the ball came to him from the left wing from Middleton. Kent controlled it in the box, cut it back to Gresda, who shoots it over the bar. And I think he was getting a lot of pelters online afterwards, which was completely unfair, I felt, because, you know, he's been out injured a lot. He had been on the park, what, 25 minutes at that point, maybe half an hour, so a bit of game rust maybe, but I don't know, it's one of these things, wasn't it? So
I know, Derek, he's a player I'm desperate to actually see play. This guy, you know, his reputation, he was supposed to be the best player, you know, in the Osijek team, and, you know, apparently we were very lucky that he was injured and we didn't have to play him, because we all thought that Barisic was head and shoulders above everybody in that team, and that's why we're delighted we signed him. And then when we went out and signed this guy as well, this guy is supposed to be an absolutely fantastic player, and I'm just desperate for him to get fit and to get in the team, because you know, it's maybe something completely different. I think he's a sort of very, very direct sort of winger, and, you know, maybe something like that, to put a wee bit more pressure on the likes of Kent and Candace and that, who are basically, you know, just about guaranteed their game at the moment. And you know, and as you say, a bit unfair, there was a few fans that are getting on his back, but I mean, come on, we've paid a lot of money for this guy, haven't we? There's got to be something there that, you know, that the manager sees. And I don't know what the script is with Gresda, Derek, if he's, you know, if he's just going to be getting a wee bit of game time here and there until he's 100% fit, or how far away he is from being 100% fit. I honestly don't know.
Yeah, but, you know, as I've said, you can't really be too disappointed with an elite draw against Spartak Moscow.
No, that's fine, aye.
I mean, certainly, as I said, it's well above our expectations, and as it stands, I mean, we're sitting still top of the group after three games. I think it was on head-to-heads or goal difference or something like that, but certainly both us and Villarreal are on 5 points. They absolutely scalped Rapid Vienna, I think it was 5-0 in that game. Rapid Vienna are on 3 and Spartak are on 2, so obviously the next game in Europe we play is against Spartak this coming Thursday, I believe.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Not tomorrow, but next week.
Yeah, a week tomorrow, yeah.
Yes. So we'll see what happens in that game. It's going to be a tough game again, but, you know, if... I think people are saying round about, you know, 7 to 10 points is going to take us through. So we're well more than halfway there. So
Derek, we should go over to that game to try and win, and then we'll definitely get a draw out of it. You know, just like we've been doing over the last few games, you know. But the European thing, Derek, is fantastic. And if you think about it on the bigger picture, if we manage somehow to still be playing in Europe, and I'm not saying that we will, Derek, I know how these things come back to bite us in the arse, but if we are still playing in Europe after Christmas, if you look in the big picture, the amount of money that will bring in for us would be phenomenal. That will eclipse us playing in a League Cup final or whatever. Do you know what I mean? So, I mean, it is fantastic, but there are a lot of people out there who are now maybe seeing this as being a bit of a hindrance. Yeah, you know, considering what's happening domestically, I don't know if you feel the same way or not, Derek. I don't. I mean, I'm delighted that we're there, and it's great. We've got these big games, and you know, the more games, the better. But there are a lot of people out there who are now saying, "Oh, aye, right, okay," but you know, our bread and butter's the league, and you know, the domestic trophies, and we're slipping away. And is it maybe because we've got these big games, Derek? Do you think that's got anything to do with it?
I think, well, yeah, it does take a toll in terms of, you know, playing Thursday, Sunday constantly. But, you know, they're professional footballers. It's at the start of the year, you know, so they should be kind of aware that that's what their job is at the end of the day. No, I'm like you. You want to be playing in these big games. That's what that should be your bread and butter for being a footballer, wanting to play in these high profile matches in Europe. That's where, if you are looking to use Rangers as a stepping stone, and let's face it, there's a lot of the players that could be using Rangers as a stepping stone, and you've got to say, we're going to be a selling club now, so you've got to accept it. Europe's the best place to show your talents, and certainly we'll get into it in the news. There's a couple of our players been highlighted as being some of the best in the Europa League just now. So, absolutely not. No, and it can only help the club in the long term as well. We're getting money for gate receipts. We're getting money for drawing and winning games. And also, if you're putting players in the shop window, you can command a bigger fee for them as well, because they've got that European experience and they're seen as a big asset. So, you know, no, absolutely not. So, so we'll see what the next game comes.
Yes.
In terms of the next game we've got to cover tonight is Sunday the 28th of October. It was a League Cup semi-final against Aberdeen where we lost 1-0. Really, really disappointing. I just can't put that into words. But so we lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Worrell, Goldson, Flanagan, Koulibaly, Jack, Ajaria, Candeias, Kent and Sadiq. Fotheringham was on the bench along with Katic, Halliday, Rossiter, Arfield, Grejda and Middleton. Now obviously the big comment to make about that is Sadiq starting, isn't he?
Yes.
As I said, hadn't started a game this season so far. He'd only had a few fleeting sub-appearances, and you're putting him in after publicly slating him. You know, putting him in a big, massive, important game like this. Firstly, I mean, we'll get onto his performance in a minute, because there's obviously comment to make about that, but what do you think of him starting the game?
See, before I saw the team news, I mean, you know, the sort of wee WhatsApp message that I sent you, and I also sent Ewan as well, the sort of boy sort of hiding. Hiding his face as soon as I seen it. I was totally shocked, Derek. I did not think in a million years that he was going to play Sadiq up front after everything that he'd said. The fact that he had the opportunity to, you know, even have him on for the last 10-15 minutes in a few matches and things like that, I genuinely thought that he was going to possibly put Glenn Middleton up front. And just have the sort of three, you know, Candeias, Middleton and Kent, and basically just have them all swapping over, you know, so they could all have play in the centre at some point. That's what I thought they would do. And I thought, you know, that might actually be quite good. You know, it would work because, you know, the Aberdeen players wouldn't know who they were marking, you know, and I thought that's probably how it would go. So to see him being in there, I was totally shocked. And then you're saying to yourself, right, well, he's not going to get a bigger game to sort of prove, you know, to everyone, you know, that he's worth keeping around. So you think to yourself, is this maybe a bit of reverse psychology with Steven Gerrard here, that he's suddenly pitched him in? Has he done this to, you know, to get him to sort of rise to the occasion? And certainly you'll get into the sort of first 20 minutes, Derek, we absolutely pulverised them, and I actually didn't think Sadiq looked that out of place in the first 20 minutes, but I'll let you get into the game anyway, and I'll let you think, I'll tell you what my feelings were about him at the end of the match.
Yep, so in 35 seconds gone, Koulibaly was booked for a foul, but there was absolutely nothing in it. There was no way it was a yellow card offence at all, and I think that kind of summed up, you know, I think the referee was trying to, you know, stamp his authority, because I think a few minutes later he booked an Aberdeen player for an absolute nothing challenge as well. It was a foul, but it was never a yellow card in a million years, so I think it was John Beaton, I think, the referee.
Yeah.
But I don't understand, 35 seconds gone and you're booking a player for a nothing challenge, just pathetic refereeing there. First minute, there was a 30-yard free kick by Aberdeen. It was going well wide, but McGregor was taking no chances and he put it out for the corner. Fifth minute, Tavernier had a floating free kick into the far side from the right. Sadiq gets his head to it, but it was over the bar. 14th minute, Aberdeen having a shot in the box after some possession, going unchallenged, and they ended up putting it over the bar.
Yeah.
19th minute, Candeas gets the ball on the right wing after some lightning quick running. Turned and nutmegged the defender using his outside of his foot. It was absolutely outrageous skill there from Candeas.
Fantastic, yeah, it was. Yep.
27th minute, Kent had a shot from distance, but it was well over the bar and wide. 27th minute again, there was a long ball up front, great knockdown from Sadiq into the path of Jack, who shot from distance, but it went just wide. 28th minute, it was a bad head knock for the Aberdeen player. I think it was Andrew Considine. He was down for at least, I think, six minutes, I think, wasn't it?
It was 8 minutes in total, Derek, that there was a stoppage for. At that point, we were well on top. Derek, Aberdeen could not get a hold of the ball. We had all the play. We were winning absolutely everything in the centre of the park. Aberdeen couldn't string, you know, even two passes together, and we were picking it up. So at that stage, just before that injury, I thought we are playing some fantastic stuff here. And it's surely only a matter of time before we score. And then I think a sort of pivotal sort of time of the match for that, as you say, it was a bad injury to happen. And it basically just sort of broke the play up completely for Aberdeen. We lost our momentum and things just went downhill for there, Derek.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't the next part I've got here was in the 40th minute. Was Aberdeen, it was across from the right. It was going goal bound, but McGregor tips it over the bar, so it was a bit unlucky there for Aberdeen. Mm-hmm. 42nd minute, Worrell shoot the ball over the bar. 50th minute, this was still in the first half, bearing in mind, it looked like a clear foul in the box, but not given. The defender did actually got the ball, but he took the player as well. So again, it leads into this thing, well, if you follow through and get the player as well, then surely it's a foul. So
yeah.
I don't know if that's the rule or no, but, you know, one of these things again. So, as you said, I mean, we were by far the better team, but then we lost a lot of momentum after the big long stoppage. Aberdeen, they had a couple of, you know, half chances, but really they were not up to the game at all. They were just sitting back and...
Totally, Derek.
Allowing us to play, and, you know, it's become a feature. We can't break teams down when they play like that, so...
The worrying thing, though, at that point, Derek, after the injury, we get to half time and we've got all the ball. Aberdeen still looked very comfortable when it came to the ball going anywhere near their box. I mean, I can't remember the Aberdeen goalkeeper having to be called into action at all in the first half. I don't know if you've got anything in your notes, but I honestly can't remember him having to really pull off a save at all. The defence was basically mopping everything up that we threw at them. And that was the disappointing part. And I think that's what I was so disappointed about Steven Gerrard about. Was at half-time, I think we could all clearly see, Derek, that we were needing something completely different in the second half. You know, maybe it was adding an extra person into midfield. Maybe it was, you know, trying to get somebody off the wing and more set centre and just trying something completely different. But as you're about to get into in the second half, things just stayed the same.
Yeah. I mean, I've put this on 51 minutes, I think it was, the other day, and I said to my mates on our WhatsApp group that, you know, it's clear to see that it needs a change. You know, we're going absolutely nowhere. And, you know, as you said, it just never came. And I can't remember if that was 51 minutes in the first half or the actual real 51 minutes. So, but anyway, 51st minute, ironically enough, in the second half, Kent got the ball near to the Aberdeen box. He took it in the middle and hits a shot, but it went well over the bar. 52nd minute, it was good play, ending us having a shot. Good save for the keeper, back out to our player, out wide to Candeas, crosses deep, Kent gets the ball on the left, crosses into the middle of the box, but couldn't find our player at all. 55th minute, Tavernier free kick from 25 yards in the centre, went over the bar. 59th minute, it was a corner in from us. Koulibaly has a shot. It looked as if it was going in, but it went actually well wide. And then the heavens collapsed on us. On the 78th minute, Aberdeen went 1-0 up. Corner was whipped in. A free header into the back of the net. Really, that's all you can really say about that. Ridiculous defending. And once again, you know, we've got a big defence, so how the hell can these players manage to you know, simple long balls over the top of us? Or?
And as you say, the fact that we have got these defenders, and it was Ejaria who was sort of marking the boy that scored the header, was beyond me also. It was just an absolute clusterfuck in defence, Derek, and we're not used to seeing that now. We're not used to seeing conceding such bad goals like that, especially from set pieces anymore. Last season, yes. Season before that, yes. Season before that, yes. But this season, with McGregor and Goldson being in there, you know, we usually feel pretty safe. And that was just really sort of amateurish defending. But the whole team at that point, Derek, it was just really, really poor.
Yep, absolutely. And then we finally did make a change when it was really too late. Candeas and Jack came off. Arfield and Middleton came on the 80th minute just after Aberdeen scored. So it was too late really to make any effect really. 82nd minute, Sadiq goes down in the box. He was booked for diving. A lot of people absolutely outraged on this one, and I want to get your opinion on this one, because it looked to be, or what people are saying is that he had rounded the keeper, I think, and then all he had to do was shoot the ball. However, it went down after not getting touched. However, I've only ever seen it back once on replay, and to me, it looked as if he was falling anyway. And then if he went down, I don't think it was a penalty, but I don't think it was a dive either. What was your thoughts on it?
Derek, I was more annoyed with the fact that he had a gilt-edged chance to score, and he basically just had to, you know, compose himself slightly and slot the ball into the net. But instead, he went down like a sack of tatties, regardless if, you know, you thought he was falling or not. I thought of a player who is playing at that level, regardless what anybody thinks of him. If you get a gilt-edged chance like that, you take it. It was, and that was the more disappointing thing to me, was the fact that he missed that. And like I said, in the first 20 minutes, I actually thought, you know, he was looking actually all right. He didn't look out of place, and then he just sort of fell by the wayside ever since that, and it just all culminated into that, you know, final chance and him going down and getting booked, and people saying he was looking for the penalty, people saying there was, you know, there was nowhere near it. You're saying yourself that you thought he was falling anyway. It was just a very, very poor performance by him and the rest of the team in that second half, and that was just the sort of icing on the cake for a lot of fans as well, and especially the fans that want to criticise our team, you know, for supporters of other teams. And it's I'm still flabbergasted about it, Derek, to be honest with you.
Yeah. In terms of Sadiq, now obviously that issue aside for the whole potential penalty or dive or whatever it might have been, I felt he actually had a fairly decent game. I mean, considering this was his first start, he was getting chucked into what was effectively the deep end. I felt he had played no worse or no better than any other player on that park. He was singled out by a lot of people for being offside 5 times. Morelos is constantly, or certainly in the past, Morelos has been constantly offside and played much worse than that and had an attitude and got himself needlessly booked. So I really kind of, I fail to see where this has come from. And I think as well, he's been made a scapegoat by the fans is one thing, but I really think it's been unfair of Gerrard for singling him out without actually mentioning him, and also, you know, making him out to be the scapegoat, because obviously his post-match comments, both on RTV and with the media, he's stated that if the players are not up to it, then they'll be replaced, and he kind of did single out Sadiq without really naming him, and obviously in a pre-match presser for the Kilmarnock game tonight, it was him and Rossiter was up on the panel, and a journalist tried to shitstir by asking him what kind of impact is that had on the players. He started to answer it, and then Gerrard interrupted him, saying that he's been out for 2 years injured, so I'll answer that. And he reiterated that if the players are not up to it, they're giving their all. So
that's probably been about the only thing that's made me smile this week, Derek, to be perfectly honest with you. I thought it was a belter. He put I don't know who the journalist was, but he put him in his place. And I think actual Jordan Rossiter, that sort of look of sheer terror on his face when he sort of butted in and said, no, I'll answer this, you know. But he has been made to be a scapegoat, Derek. He has. I mean, but there's no getting away for that. Now, the guy, I don't think there's no coming back for this now for him. I will partially agree with you. Like I said, I thought the first 20 minutes, half an hour, I think he looked all right. He certainly wasn't any worse than any of the players. He linked up quite well with the midfield. He held the ball up quite well. But then after that injury, after the stoppage, he slowly got worse and worse and worse, Derek. And it was, into the second half, every time he was getting the ball, he was giving it away in the second half. So I think he had a very, very poor second half. But he played, no bad in the first, the first part of the first half. So the first third of the game, I would, I thought he was all right, but I thought he was very, very poor in the second half. And it'd be interesting to see what the stats are on him in the match for sort of, completed passes, or if he managed to get any interceptions, or putting pressure on, because I don't think he'd done anything really in the second half at all. But can I say any more?
Aye, so I mean, I just don't know what to say about this. It was just so disappointing. And quite honestly, it's Celtic's trophy, because Aberdeen were utter shit. They really were. They have been playing utter gash for weeks now, and I know they won 3-0 tonight, I think, didn't they? So, but they were utter shit in this game, and it kind of backfires on us as well, the whole issue with the tickets thing, because it made us to look about just stupid because they won the game rather than us. So,
and it also, and Derek, again, I'm annoyed with myself that I'm even bringing this up, but it just, I'm just so pissed off about it. But the whole, it also plays into the media's hands, the whole Derek McInnes, not going to Rangers and staying at Aberdeen, which we all said at the time, and people, if people are listening to this for the first time and they didn't listen to us before, both myself and you both said categorically that we did not want Derek McInnes as the manager of Rangers. We said it at the time, and I will say it again, but just the manner that everything has happened, it plays into the media's hands, doesn't it?
Yep.
It's, great storylines for them. Derek McInnes has made the right decision, and, he outwitted Steven Gerrard, and, he got his tactics spot on, and Aberdeen are in the cup final, the first cup final of the season. It's so infuriating, and also so infuriating, Derek, that we cannot seem to win these big games. And I mean, that was last season that mirrored that as well. And God, Derek, we're by far, and I'm not trying to convince myself here. I know, and I've had a few fucking arguments with people online, and I shouldn't. I know it's usually you that gets annoyed with folk online, Derek, but I've had a few stupid arguments with folk online who are actually questioning if we are a better team than we were last year.
Yeah.
I find it absolutely astonishing. But again, they are going on results. They are going on, you know, when it comes down to us playing in the big games, us having this inability to win these big matches. And it's just so annoying and frustrating. And I'm sure every Rangers fan's feeling the same way that I am, but already we're seeing a lot of idiots out there who are saying, oh, aye, this isn't working. We need to get a change straight away. And, you know, it was just really, really annoying. And the way that it all happened, and I mean, Aberdeen had one chance, Derek, let's be honest. But we still having all that pressure and all the play. I still can't remember the Aberdeen goalkeeper having to make, you know, a really outstanding save in the whole game. Can you?
No, he had a few half saves, but there were nothing chances, I think. So
I was speaking to a friend of the pod, Ewan, last night when I was at work, and he kind of summed it up quite well when he said it was a sort of, in his prime, a Warburton-esque performance, wasn't it? It was just having all the ball, but just not being able to break teams down right at the very end, and then conceding a really stupid goal. And that's basically what it was. It was like going back, and again, I know we are moving in the right direction, Derek, and I'm delighted with who we've got in as our manager, but I'll let you get into tonight's game, Derek, and then I'll give you my feelings on what I think is possibly going wrong and where we need to change it. But just that, the game against Aberdeen was just a complete and utter disaster for us, Derek. There's no other words that we can say about it. A complete and utter disaster.
Yep. So tonight's game was obviously Wednesday the 31st of October at home to Kilmarnock, and it ended up being a 1-1 draw. Now there's four changes for this game. Fotheringham started the game instead of McGregor, who was on the bench. Now obviously I don't think there's been any kind of reason for it.
Yeah, that's a strange one, Derek. I mean, we can only assume that he's carrying a slight knock or something like that.
I thought it was maybe because that Fotheringham normally gets the cup games, so it was McGregor played the Aberdeen game, so he was maybe just substituting him in to give him some game time. So
possibly right, Derek, you could well be right, but that was the sort of big surprise inclusion in the team tonight was that one. And then, as you're probably about to get into, Andy Halliday playing in midfield as well.
Yeah, so Fotheringham in goals, Tavernier, Goldson, Worrell, Flanagan, Halliday, Koulibaly, Arfield, Kent, Candias and Morelos. On the subs bench, as I said, McGregor, Katic, Jack, Rossiter, Grejda, Middleton and Lafferty. Now, I've said in the post-match reaction, no place at all for Sadiq, which again, I think that's a writing on the wall for him. And yeah. I think it's completely unfair because, as obviously what we've just commented on, and, you know, not even to be on the bench. So, a bit disappointing, but you know that's what happens again. There was a minute silence, obviously at the start for the victims of the shocking helicopter crash at the weekend, yeah, which killed the owner of Leicester City amongst the two crew members and a couple of other people there as well, which was shocking scenes. But
yes,
obviously perfectly observed as yep, per usual. First 5 minutes, it was really all us, absolutely. On the fifth minute, it was a great delivery from Tavernier on the right, goes right to Morelos on the left side, but the defender just nips in to put it out for the corner. And on the eighth minute, we went a goal up. There was a quick break after a tackle by Tavernier, I think it was, who got the ball to Candias, who then put it to Kent. As he was doing so, Candias was taken out, but the ref went done well and he allowed play to go on. Kent passed it to the left of the box where Morelos was running in, shoots the ball. It was a slight deflection and into the back of the net. So certainly we had started with a lot of pace and a lot of tenacity. Our crossing and our deliveries were a lot better, certainly from the off. And you know, we capitalised on that. Really, it wasn't. The lead one didn't last very long because in the 14th minute, Kelly drew level. Went down the right, and it came off Flanagan. I think they tried to kind of knock it by him. bit of fortune came off the legs of Flanagan. Kelly Attacker gets the break of the ball and hits a great shot, curling shot from the right side of the box into the far corner. Don't think really you can blame Fotheringham for it. It was a great shot, a bit of a worldly finish, but literally I think that was the first time they had the ball, never mind had a shot.
Derek, the one thing I will say though, it was a great shot, as you say, right in the top corner, but he had three defenders between him and the goal. So why on earth was there no, you know, some sort of blockage made there? It was a great shot, but for him to have all that time in the ball, in the box, as you say, it came off Flanagan, but there were three players there. I think it was really, really poor defending, Boer standards, really poor defending the fact that he was allowed to even get that shot off. So I was really disappointed with that one, Derek.
Yeah, once again, defenders, you know, backing off and no doing the job properly. Yep. So on the 18th minute, it was a shot from 20 yards from Kent, hit with power, but it was comfortable for the keeper. 22nd minute, great delivery from the corner from Tavernier, great header by Goldson, blocked by the defender at close range, comes out to Worrell within the 6-yard box, but it couldn't slot it home. 29th minute was a 25-yard shot from Kelly just over the bar. 43rd minute was a fortunate break of the ball, sending the ball to the right of the box. Tavernier picks it up, cuts it inside, hits a shot on the edge of the box, and it hits off the top of the bar and out for the goal kick.
Yep.
45th minute, just before half time, 25-yard trundling shot, which may have taken a deflection by Halliday, and it made the keeper make a save and out for the corner. So certainly one each at half time, you know, were certainly the better team. Our delivery was better, but again, once again, for the third game in a row, we couldn't find that kind of clinical finish. We couldn't unlock the defence.
And the worrying thing at that point for me, Derek, was, and you know me, Derek, I'm the ultimate optimist when it comes to our team. I was the ultimate optimist when we were getting beat by Alawa and stuff like that, and I ultimate optimist. But I just knew at half time that we weren't going to get a goal in the second half. And I think if you were to ask the vast majority of Rangers supporters at Ibrox tonight, they would have agreed with me there.
Yeah.
And that's the worrying thing right now.
Yep. So certainly one of the things that Gerrard has been fairly criticised for is his lack of ability to make changes, or yep, he's making changes too late. And boy, well, made one at half time. Flanagan came off and Jack came on, which I think Halliday filled in Flanagan's slot left back.
Yeah.
So, 46 minute, Morelos had a shot from 25 yards. It bounces right in front of the keeper, who makes a save and puts it out of the corner. 48th minute, ball finds Kent on the left, squares it to Halliday in the middle, who has a shot just over the bar from 25 yards. 52nd minute, Halliday had a shot on the edge of the box. There was no power, and it was easy for the keeper. 55th minute, amazingly, he made another sub. Koulibaly came off and Middleton came on. 57th minute, was a good move with Morelos laying off to Candeias on the right, plays it back, comes off the Kelly defender, out to Morelos, who tries the back heel flick, which doesn't come off. Ball flashes across the goal and Arfield can't get the ball. 60th minute, corner whipped in, Goldson got a looping header, forcing the keeper to make a save, and ended up with the ball being cleared. 61st minute, Kent had a shot from 25 yards, forcing the keeper to make a great save out for the corner. Just got a touch, otherwise it was going into the bottom corner. That was probably the best chance of the game for us,
yeah,
I felt.
Yep.
And lo and behold, all three substitutions were used by the 70th minute, where Candeias came off and Lafferty came on. But strangely, he came off at the side of the park rather than running to the touchline. The ball ended up going out for a throw-in just where he was walking, and he looked as if he was about to take it. So,
yes,
a bit strange, that one. 82nd minute, Lafferty had an overhead kick in the box, but it went well wide. And rounding out the game, it was a great save from Fotheringham on the 90th minute after Worrell lost the ball at the touchline near the halfway line. The Kelly player drove forward, three defenders trailing back, but Fotheringham done really well, stood tall when the shot came, and he put it out for the corner. So could have been a bit of a disaster, well, even more of a disaster than the draw was. So ultimately, Kelly were never in this game apart from that one chance. I think that was the only real major thing Fotheringham had to do all game. We dominated the second half from start to finish, and once again, we just couldn't put the ball into the back of the net. We had a lack of clear-cut chances. I think they were certainly told at half-time to get your shooting boots on and just have a shot at will from, mm-hmm. from anywhere, which they were doing, but it was all fluffed out, or it was weak shots into the keeper.
Poor shots, apart from that one for Ryan Kent, like you said, Derek, but it was pretty, as you say, powder puff, really not accurate. And I think basically they had a lack of belief when it came to shooting as well. I don't think that any of them actually genuinely thought that they would get a goal if they were to have a shot, but they were going to do it anyway. The one thing I will say about Kilmarnock, Derek, is they did look quite dangerous a few times on the break, which is more than what fucking Aberdeen did in the last game. So Steve Clark's a very good manager, Derek. He had his team set out, he had his tactics spot on again. Against us, it's just there's a few things that I'm going to say, Derek, and I know that I'm still annoyed about things, but I think that there are a few players who I think need to have a few games out, and I do not mean that these players should not play for us again, because they're fantastic players. It's not working for Ryan Kent in the last few games, Derek. He's getting a lot of the ball, he's looking very dangerous, but as soon as he gets anywhere near the box, it's just no working for him. And when I say I'm not saying that the guy, I think he's a great player and he's been fantastic for us this season, but he is going through a period of where things, he's just not getting the rub of the green. And I think it's affecting his confidence as well, because I think certainly in the last two games that Kent doesn't look the player that he was, you know, three or four games ago. So I think that's affecting his confidence. Koulibaly doesn't look a patch on the player that we got at the start of the season. I don't know what's happened to him at all, Derek.
No.
He's, you know, there's wee bursts here and there, but he does not look the dynamic sort of box-to-box player that we signed on loan at the start of the season. And you cannot play him and Ryan Jack in the same team. I think it's got to be one or the other. I do like Ryan Jack. I think he's a fantastic player as well. I think when it comes to your sort of deep midfielder, I think he does a fantastic job. He's very quiet. He goes about his job very, very effectively. I don't think you can play the two of them together. And it's always Daniel Candeias, Derek, if you've noticed, who always gets hooked first when there's any subs to come on. And there's no really anybody to replace him on the right-hand side, because Kent is really a left-winger. Middleton is really a left-winger. So I think, you know, every time he takes off Candeias, it's we're losing our shape and losing our balance. And I don't know if it's just, you know, I hate using the word the old pals act, because it's not that, I know that's not the case, but Steven Gerrard, you know, has brought Kent in as he's his player, the same way Jarrie. Now, Jarrie also, I think, is not playing as well as he did, Derek. So I think there's a few of these guys that possibly need a wee, you know, time away for the team, maybe on the bench. And another big question I've got for you, Derek, who are shining light from a very, very dark season last year was Ross McCrory. Where is he?
Yeah.
Where, you know, why is he not getting a sniff of the team? The laddie is an absolute class act. And last season, I would have had him as a stick-on to be playing in that team every single week. Playing as that sort of holding midfielder, the guy's a great player, and he's absolutely nowhere to be seen it anymore. It's very, very strange. We are lacking, seriously lacking, another creative midfielder in there. I think Arfield is the best of the bunch. I think Arfield's a fantastic player, but he is your straightforward box-to-box midfielder, isn't he? He's a goal threat as well as getting back, defending. He's up and down the whole game. I can't fault Arfield at all, Derek. He's been outstanding any time he's played for us. But the rest of them, I think, are blowing so hot and cold at the moment, and we're not getting any consistency, not like we were a few games ago. And it's really quite worrying, and it makes you think now of who or what does he do in the short term. Does he you know, does he bench Koulibaly and, you know, maybe give Kent a rest and put Middleton on the left-hand side? We've already spoke about Gresda. I'm desperate to see him play. But it's just, it's no working, Derek, and it's getting more and more. The good thing for us at the moment is that we are still only 4 points behind the likes of Celtic in second place. I'm pretty sure that Hearts are going to fall by the wayside with the fact that Naismith's going to be out for a few months. They're going to struggle to score goals. So I'm not worried about Hearts. I think they'll drop points. But we really need to keep the pressure on the likes of Celtic, because they're getting stronger. They've been through their blip now, Derek, and they're getting stronger and stronger. And that's without some of their key players that are out injured. And that's another worry for us. And I'm struggling right now as to say, right, who or what is he going to change in the team? Because he seems to have his preferred team, but his preferred team just isn't performing now, Derek.
No. I mean, certainly you can't really fault McGregor. You kind of look at Katic and Goldson. I think they get caught, as I've said in the last pod, they get caught sometimes with balls over the top.
I know.
Goldson's concentration goes sometimes, but on the whole, they've been playing well. Same with Worrell, Flanagan. Halliday's been playing good. I'm not too worried about the defence. It's more the attacking sense and the creativity. We seem to have just kind of went off at a kilter over the last kind of three or four games. As you said, Koulibaly's been non-existent. I disagree with your assessment of Arfield, because I think he's been fairly quiet the last few games he's played. Kent has been, as you said, quiet. Candeas is a hot and cold player, because he can have some outrageous skill like the back heel or the outside of the leg flick, but then when he doesn't play like he should against Aberdeen, then, you know, what we're found wanting in the creativity section. Mm-hmm. And again, that's the same with Tavernier as well, whereas the Aberdeen fact, he was diabolical against Aberdeen, and now he's going to be a stick on every game unless he's getting rested for, you know, just because of the amount of games. But the point is, he is a major creative outlet for us. And when he doesn't create, the team doesn't create. So we're relying too heavily on your captain, who, when he has an off game, which is happening far too often these days for him, he's not firing all cylinders every game like he should, then that's your creative outlet gone with these two players. So it's worrying, and that's obviously why we're obviously potentially looking into Steve Davis, which we'll get onto later.
Again, I think Barisic getting injured has been a major blow for us, especially the fact that we've had to play Worrell and Halliday in there also. I don't know what's happening, Derek, especially in the left-back situation. Lee Wallace has went very quiet after being back on the scene and being back training with the first team, and, you know, the manager talking about him and all of that. I don't know if that's, you know, we've never heard anything about Lee Wallace either, especially if he's 100% fit, because I would have been tempted to possibly even give him a game, Derek, because I don't think that especially the left back situation, that we are giving anything or any kind of support at all to the likes of Ryan Kent, whereas I think the likes of Barisic would, and certainly his delivery into the box would be, you know, is absolutely fantastic. So, it's worrying, and I know this is just me, this is just my opinion, Derek, and I'm, you know, thinking about possible solutions for the team to get them playing well again, but it is quite worrying at the moment. It really is. The creative sort of streak is gone, and as you say, when we're not getting that for the likes of Tav, it really makes him, you know, very, very ineffective in the whole game, because he's certainly not a defender, is he? He's, you know, and when he's not keep creating anything, we can't get rely on him to defend. So it's all or nothing for Tav, I think, and when he's not doing anything going forward, then he's, you know, he's really not doing much at all in a game, is he?
Yeah. So it kind of leaves us in the league. We're sitting with played 10, won 5, drawn 3, lost 2, scored 23, conceded 10, goal difference plus 13, and points 18. Sitting joint in 4th now, or we're sitting 4th, but Hibernian and Livingston are both on 18 also.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. St Johnstone are on 17, Aberdeen are on 15. We are currently 3 points behind Kilmarnock. We've got a game in hand though. We are 4 points behind Celtic, as you said, on both on the same games, and we are 8 points behind Hearts, who mm-hmm. we've got a game in hand against them as well. So all still to play for, but we need to really start bucking up around.
That's our only saving grace at this moment in time, Derek, is that we're not, you know, that there isn't such a huge gap now, because I'm no worried about Hearts anymore, because I do think that they will struggle. I think Hearts will get a lot of 0-0 draws coming up, so they're going to drop a lot of points. But we really need to keep the pressure and try and get as close to Celtic, who are in second place at the moment, just to keep the pressure up. But I think just for our own, you know, the way that the team's playing, we need to have that bit of belief, and that can only come with winning games.
Yeah. So the next game we come to is Saturday the 3rd of November, which is away to St Mirren, so hopefully the away hoodoo doesn't follow us again. That's a 12:30 kickoff. Then it's Thursday the 8th of November, that's the away game to Spartak, that's a 17:55 kickoff. Then it's Sunday the 11th of November, that's at home to Motherwell, that's a 1500 kickoff. So, you know, a lot of games in a short space of time again.
Yep.
Then there's an international break, unfortunately, again, I think. And then it's Saturday the 24th of November at home to Livingston. So playing them quite again in quick succession, yep, there, aren't we? So,
mm-hmm. Yes.
So, I suppose we just need to wait and see what happens, but there's worrying signs there, but, you know, we obviously got to trust that the manager will motivate the players, and I think, you know, certainly he did learn a couple of things from the Aberdeen game. It's now about taking these kind of learning processes and learning again after tonight's game, and I think I've not listened to his post-match comments yet, but
yeah,
apparently he's raging.
Uh-huh.
Apparently he's absolutely raging and still no happy with the players, as he shouldn't be, so hopefully this will be a case of, right, you know, ship out, or was it shape up or ship out, because I don't think the players really gave them, I don't think a lot of the players gave them a reaction tonight like he was expecting.
No, there definitely wasn't, Derek, there definitely wasn't. The style of play was exactly the same as the Aberdeen game, but I honestly think that at half time, the fact that I was thinking we're not going to score here, and that's not like me at all, Derek, it really isn't. That's the worrying thing for me, and I think that same feeling, you can feel it with the fans as well, you know, listening to the fans at Ibrox as well, and that's, you know, really quite worrying. And the fact that he is losing it with them and he's still not getting a reaction is also quite worrying as well, Derek. So I hope he's true to his word, and I hope he does punt a few of them that aren't, you know, performing, but again, we'll have to wait and see what happens on Saturday now, eh?
Yep. So we'll now go into the classic match.
And there it is! The final whistle's gone! Rangers have won the European Cup Winners' Cup!
So, Dave, to cheer us up, I think you've got a bit of a better game tonight, haven't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. I think just because we were playing Aberdeen at Hampden, I thought I would go back quite some time. Back to a time I was only 13 years old, Derek, back to 1988, and it was a classic clash between Rangers and Aberdeen at Hampden Park for the Scull Cup final. Can you remember it being called the Scull Cup final, Derek?
Only when looking at matches like this, no, because I was only 3 at the time. So.
The Scull Cup final, which is now the sort of League Cup final, and the both Rangers and Aberdeen teams steeped with international players, both teams including Aberdeen. I'll go over the Aberdeen team first in that day. A lot of very familiar names, both to, you know, a lot of them played for Rangers at one stage. So obviously, Theo Snelders in goal, Stuart McKimmy at right back, Scotland international, Alec McLeish, obviously, Willie Miller, David Robertson, Bobby Connor, Simpson, Jim Bett, Hewitt, Charlie Nicholas, and Davey Dodds. So, you know, a lot of really sort of famous names there, you know, especially in the 80s into the 90s. Aberdeen at that point managed by Alex Smith, and Rangers obviously managed by magnificent Graham Souness, and his team on that particular day was Chris Woods in goals, Gary Stevens at right back, Richard Gough and Terry Butcher playing at centre half, with John Brown, versatile John Brown, playing at left back. On the wings for Rangers, we had Mark Walters in one wing and Neil Cooper playing on the other wing, with Ian Ferguson and Ray Wilkins playing in the centre of midfield for Rangers, with Ali McCoist and Kevin Drinkle up front. So, you know, a fantastic team again, also full of international players. And it was a really hard fought first 10 minutes when you look at some of the players that were playing in there: Derek, Ian Ferguson, Willie Miller, Alec McLeish, Bobby Connor, some really sort of hard tacklers. There were some wild tackles in the first 10 minutes. No cards given at all, just wee sort of warnings by the referees at that point, not like it is now. But the first real chance fell on the 13th minute.
The goalkeeper making a dreadful blunder. How it came about. Back to the goalkeeper. What a tight ball to Gibble. And now getting into bother here. Drinkle going after it. Ooh, that was very close indeed, but the referee says penalty kick.
Davy Robertson actually had the ball. It was a throw-in, and he tried to throw it back to Theo Snelders, but Kevin Drinkle actually nipped in, stole the ball off of Theo Snelders, and Snelders actually brought him down inside the box, clear-cut penalty, and the referee points to the spot. So it was an opportunity for a super Ali McCoist to open the goal scoring, and he did so on the 14th minute when he slotted the penalty home to the left-hand side of the goal, 1-0 to Rangers.
The Dutch goalkeeper to face Ali McCoist. He's done it. 1-0 for Rangers. And this was the clinical way that McCoist decided to put Rangers in front.
But Aberdeen really going for it after that. They didn't sit back, and on the 20th minute they actually equalised through Davy Dodds.
The corner kick, and that's an equaliser. Dodds. This was a corner, and watch the commitment by both the goalkeeper, central defenders, and David Dodds snatches it in. Not an easy chance, I may say.
It was a corner which was completely missed by everyone, and it just sort of came and hit Davy Dodds on the thigh, and you know, he knew nothing about it at all, and it battered off his thigh, ended up in the back of the net. A bit of a disaster for Rangers in defence there, and you know, Aberdeen getting the equaliser. 30th minute, Gary Stevens takes the ball into the Aberdeen's half, and then a superb through ball to Kevin Drinkle, who he found unmarked. He puts in a low cross from the byline to Ali McCoist. He slides in, but Aberdeen managed to get the ball clear. I think it was Alec McLeish that did that. Then the 38th minute, Ian Ferguson manages to get clear of two tackles and shoots a fantastic shot just over the bar. Really unlucky with that. And then just before half time, a cross from Neil Cooper and a Kevin Drinkle header just over the bar, but the referee then blew a half time whistle. So 1-1 at half time, both teams really going for it. A really, really hard fought. Into the second half, so early pressure by Rangers. And then on the 56th minute.
Attracted Souness and others in the first place.
absolutely no chance for Teo Snelders to save this one.
Gary Stevens with a long throw, an incredible long throw, actually. When I watched it back, I couldn't quite believe how far he got the ball into the box. This throw from the corner flag right into the box. It was missed by Kevin Drinkle, who went to have a sort of shot, a fresh air shot. But who was there right behind him to score an absolutely sensational half volley? But Ian Ferguson. And he made it 2-1 to Rangers. Absolutely sensational goal, Ian Ferguson. One that gets replayed a lot. It was absolutely tremendous. Not long after that, Mark Walters on the right-hand side runs into the edge of the box and does his trademark double shuffle. Shoots just over the bar. Ali McCoy then picks up the loose ball on the left and crosses it. It hits the top of the bar and goes out. Really, really unlucky there by Ali McCoy. But then on the 63rd minute,
Charlie Nicholas did that brilliantly. He's back. There's Dodds, and that's in the equaliser. A brilliant goal by Dodds. Dodds managing to get himself out of cover, and Woods left stranded. To each.
Charlie Nicholas picks up the ball from Aberdeen and plays a fantastic ball to Jim Bett on the right hand, the right wing. He puts a high cross away into the back post, and there's Davey Dodds with a sort of looping header right over Chris Woods and creeps into the back of the net to make it 2-2. Aberdeen drawing level again. And then a long shot by Simpson, which was tipped over by Chris Woods, out for a corner. Aberdeen, you know, really going for it, sensing that they could get the winner. Jim Bett races clear 1-1 with Chris Woods, but thankfully sticks his toe out and he puts it just past the left post, just past. So Aberdeen really unlucky not to go 3-2 up there. But then Ali McCoist does the same is what Jim Bett did at the other end. A great chance, but this time it was a half volley, slightly harder chance, but just over. But a player of McCoy's ability, you would have expected him to burst the net with that one. Gary Stevens then races clear into the box again and shoots, and there's a fantastic save by Teo Snelders. But then on the 86th minute,
Goff is there, and it's there.
Minutes to go, Rangers get a corner on the right hand side, and the corner played in to Richard Goff. He heads it back in, it sort of hits off Kevin Drinkle and falls to Ali McCoy's poacher extraordinaire, who drills the ball into the back of the net to make it 3-2 to Rangers. Fantastic stuff, no more than we deserved. Aberdeen then, not long after that, with a last chance, Stuart McKimmy latches on a through ball, and Terry Butcher makes an absolute backside it and allows him to go through on the byline. He puts a low cross and it's Charlie Nicholas shoots, and then David Dodds shoots again. A fantastic save back to Dodds again, who you thought was just going to smash it into the net, but then an incredible last ditch sliding tackle on the goal line, but Gary Stevens just sort of clips off the bottom of his foot and ends up rolling out for a corner to Aberdeen. Absolutely sensational defending there by Rangers. But they see the corner out and the full-time whistle goes, and Rangers are the winners of the Skull Cup, the Scottish League Cup, on the 23rd of October 1988. A fantastic game to watch, end-to-end stuff. Some quality players on show for both teams. well known players, and you know, and that's the sort of games that I remember that we used to play against Aberdeen when both teams were really going for it, not the sort of absolutely pathetic ultra defensive game that we saw Aberdeen play, you know, and managing to scrape their 1-0 against us. So no, it was a fantastic game to watch. If you get the chance to go back, you'll see some fantastic players: Mark Walters, Ray Wilkins. But seeing the highlight of that game, definitely Derek, was Ian Ferguson's volley, an absolute peach of a goal.
Yeah, great game. Certainly, I've watched the highlights back, and it was a lot in it. But also the full match is on YouTube as well, so I've put a link in. Into our website and
fantastic.
The feed as well. So,
great game. Yeah.
If you've got the time, then certainly watch it. So.
Yeah, great game.
So, we'll go into the news. Right, a few bits and pieces to cover now is just before the game tonight, 15 minutes before kickoff. Actually, we announced our report for the annual results for the finances. On the face of it, you don't think it's actually great reading. Our turnovers went up by a few million. However, we've made a £14 million loss in the last year. And that's over double of what the loss was last year. So it's, you know, a bit concerning that way. But I think they've kind of taken the key point, the fact that there's still a lot of work, the infrastructure of the stadium and everything around it that's been included in that, as well as obviously we've had to scrap the Cashina reign and get rid of players and getting new people in, obviously with a new management team and new players. So I think that kind of comes into it as well. So
yeah, it's bound to have, Derek, with the turnaround of players and staff that we've had this year, it's bound to have, you know, caused, you know, a lot of financial, you know, I'll not say difficulties, but financial sort of turnover, as you say, and you know, that's that can only be what it is. But we all knew that that had happened, Derek, didn't we? We all knew that it was not going to be plain sailing, especially when we had to get rid of as many people and bring in so many people also.
Yeah, so if it's one of these things, we said it with the Morelos bid, if it actually was real, the £10 million bid, if you get some outlandish bid like that, then you've got to really seriously consider it. So it's one of these things we'll just need to wait and see as well, because certainly Dave King, and I know he's got a responsibility to kind of calm the waters, as it were, but he doesn't seem overly concerned in the statement that he gave with the announcement. So, you know, there is going to be a period of, we're going to be a loss-making club for some time, and they were fully aware of that. Just obviously the fact that there's been a lot more losses this year, as we both said about the playing staff and the management staff, you know, that's par for the course, isn't it? So, yeah. You know, those folk calling for people's heads already, you know, this is the reason why you can't do it. It does beg the question, though, that, you know, Gerard said that, you know, if the players don't perform, we'll get new players in. It just makes you wonder, where's the money coming from? So,
yeah.
You know, certainly this is why Europe's obviously a great thing with the gate receipts, because I think in the space of like one game between the gate receipts and the prize money we got for even just drawing, it was something like over the prize money we got for, you know, the Premiership last year. So it just goes to show you how much of a major income that the European scene is. So.
Yeah.
Obviously on the back of this announcement as well is that the AGM has been announced for the Clyde Auditorium on Tuesday, November 27th at 10 a.m.
Okay.
So I can't see there going to be many issues compared with the last few years, is there? Next thing, obviously, we're talking about when it comes to revenues as well, is the Mike Ashley and Sports Direct saga rumbles on.
Yes.
Taking a interesting turn again, is that Mike Ashley and Sports Direct obviously taking us to court again, and they've won their latest court battle. They claimed that we didn't give Sports Direct a chance to match the offer which we gave to JD, and the judge upheld that complaint. So we argued that we did give them the chance, but they didn't play ball. They were kind of stalling on you know, making an offer to us and all that. So we went ahead and made the deals with JD and the Elite Group, which I think comes under JD anyway. We basically have to pay the court costs and legal fees. However, the judge has said that the claim of £280,000 legal fees that Sports Direct claim that they've spent is possibly unreasonably high. So before any final figure for that is going to be it's going to be looked into before we need to pay. Basically, I think for us to comply with this court ruling is us pay the fees, and we've also had to ask Elite and JD to stop selling our kits and not promote the sale of them. However, as long as we've done that, Elite and JD are under no obligation to comply, and as of yet, they're still on sale through JD and I believe Grieve Sports as well. So
okay.
Yep. Dave King has obviously hit back in a statement, written a personal statement vowing to take them back to court due to a long outstanding payments due to us for the previous retail deal, and we've had no breakdown of any income that we'll get from it. He's basically stated that due to Sports Direct's refusal and or inability to act as expected of normal commercial partner, that we have no choice but to litigate to secure our outstanding payments. And he's went on to say, well, that's the reason why we can't trust them in terms of, you know, dealing with them going forward. He's also challenged Sports Direct to produce evidence that the previous retail deal benefited the club, as the Sports Direct have claimed quite recently. You know, not long ago, Sports Direct went to court and taken out an injunction so that we hidden the fact that the actual percentage we would get from the actual deal, because they knew it favoured them. I think it was like 95% to them, to 5% to us. So, you know, I think they're talking out of their arse again. So it rumbles on. This is the reason why the kind of deals have been done the way they've been done with JD. So we're not going to go over old ground. We've documented it so many times, as of other podcasts, that if they had just played ball in the first place, it would have been so beneficial to them.
Exactly.
But now they've lost a lot of sales, not only in our sales, but in terms of we will never shop in there again. So let them lay in their own bed with that one, because I'm pretty sure the Sports Direct shareholders wouldn't be happy at personal vendettas Mike Ashley's carrying out now, because that's clearly what it is. So
it certainly looks like it, Derek. It looks as if it's been very personal, and he's, you know, gunning for us as it be. And as you say, Derek, we've went over it many, many times before. If this had been so sorted out right at the start, if it had been done properly, it could have been a mutually beneficial deal for both, you know, for all parties concerned. But it's not been.
Nope. So next thing here is, given the fact that the state the club was in, even just 2 years ago, in terms of its training academy, its youth set up and all that kind of thing, our academy was audited recently by European club auditors, and we scored 88%, making us up there with some of the best clubs in Europe for their academies, and certainly were the best in Scotland.
Fantastic.
That's incredible work by the club, and it just shows you know that's the work that's going on in the background. So people moaning last year about, you know, funding not given to managers and kind of penny pinching, and there's clearly money being spent within the club, and I think, you know, and it's now further been enhanced by the team that is in place now there. So it's great to see, and can only be a benefit for the future.
Definitely, yes. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yep. Next thing here, we, along with other clubs in the Premiership from last year, benefited from Celtic's exploits, which they weren't great, were they, in Europe, and we've netted £370,000 each from that. So thanks very much, Celtic.
I bet you never ever thought you would say those words on this podcast.
No, I mean that's the. I mean this is Celtic fans last year and this year as well try to justify. Oh, you should be supporting a Scottish team in Europe because you use benefit with money and all that. Nah, it doesn't work like that. But you know, certainly if money comes our way, then thanks, because it never came out of Celtic's pocket. Put it that way, it was just one of these beneficial things. So it'll be the same next year with teams. They'll benefit from our run as well. So
yes, exactly.
It's one of these things that UEFA have set up, which I suppose is a good thing in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we've had our criticisms of Tavernier and his kind of hot and cold nature, but certainly in Europe, he's played well and he's been named sixth best player in the Europa League, which is quite incredible. He's only one of two UK-based players in the top 10, and it was based on UEFA's FedEx Performance Zone, which ranks players based on their form in European and domestic displays.
Excellent.
Morelos was in the top 100, ranked 41st, and Candeias was 56th. Funnily enough, no Celtic players were in the top 100.
No, that is excellent. No, Derek, we all know how good Tav can be. I think that's the frustrating thing about everything at the moment, is we all know that he can be an absolute class act, but like a lot of the other players, he's suffering just now, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, one thing is the West Brom are rumoured to be coming back in for him in January, and that's obviously after their derisory bids were turned down in the summer for him. So it's one of these things. He's signed until 2022, I think, or 2023, mm-hmm. something like that. You know, he's on a long contract. He'll be getting paid wages commensurate of that kind of contract and fee that we rate him at. And now this news coming out, it's only a good thing if we do try and move him on, and clubs want him. They're going to have to pay a premium for him. So that's the kind of thing you're looking at when you've got a player that's blown hot and cold. However, he is highly rated. He has got a talent there. You know, if you get an outlandish bid of minimum £10 million plus for him, you've got to seriously consider.
Definitely, yeah. We'll just have to wait and see what happens, Derek. Something might happen in January, we don't know, but watch this space.
Yep. Next thing is ex-Man City star Ray Ranson has said in an interview that he and a well-known, very wealthy businessman, who he won't name, were looking into buying Rangers in 2012, but it never came to fruition. They stated they had a plan to take us down into the English football leagues. So it's a bit strange that he's came out with this now.
Yeah, very strange, aye.
You know, you tend to find these people, once all the dust settles, these people come out the woodwork, and some of them might be talking sense, but a lot of them might be just blowing hot air up our arse and trying to make out. So it's one of these things that you don't know how true it is. But
you mentioned it earlier on, Derek. Steve Davis, I've not heard anything in a while. Is that a fresh rumour that's been out that he's supposed to be re-looking at him again?
Yeah, apparently there's another kind of story that's kind of came out today or yesterday that we're maybe looking into him. Apparently we made inquiries in the summer about him, but nothing came to fruition again in that one.
Mm-hmm.
But he's apparently fallen down the pecking order at Southampton, so
yep.
I think the possible plan is a potential initial loan deal with a view to sign him permanently, which is funny because that's how he signed for the first time.
Exactly, that's right. Aye.
Certainly, as an older player, there's got to be a reason why he's kind of fell down the pecking order as well, but certainly it would be, give a wealth of experience. And certainly, if he's, half the player that he was, when we first had him, then, it's going to be a great creative player going forward for us.
Definitely, yeah.
Yep. One player that is going to miss out, though, is Graham Dorans. He's requiring further surgery on his knee, so he's going to be out for a further few months, which is a bit disappointing because I think he came back there and he played one game, did he not? And he actually played pretty well. And, going
and again, possibly playing in the position that he is suited to, which is that sort of attacking midfielder. And certainly, going by when he was playing for Norwich and playing in the Premiership, scored a lot of goals, Derek. But unfortunately, when he played under Pedro, he was playing a sort of more of a deeper role and couldn't really fulfil that. But he's another one that we could be doing with fully fit right now, because I think his experience in that would go a long way in our team at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. One player who has signed, though, is Glenn Middleton, has signed a new deal that keeps him here until 2023. So great prospect for the future. Certainly, you know, he came on tonight and, you know, again, it was symptomatic of the team. He had a few fleeting chances, but nothing major, but certainly is one for the future.
Definitely, yeah.
And the last kind of main Rangers story I've got here is Billy Kirkwood has been appointed the loans manager, so he'll oversee players who are out on loan, which is a great, right. great idea, and it's basically the point of contact for players and
yes.
Look over their performances. So
certainly
we've got quite a few people out on loan just now.
Well, the one who's playing absolutely fantastic now, Derek, is Greg Docherty. I mean, he's scored a lot of goals down there and there. He's apparently coming away with man of the match performances. Now, I know it's English League Two, Derek, but, you know, that there's another option there of somebody who's fully fit. His confidence is sky high. He's a proven Premier League player. He's still young. He's Rangers daft, be desperate. If things aren't going too well, would be reconsidering, you know, and getting him back, you know, for the rest of the season. I don't know what you think about that, but he's certainly playing really well now, Derek.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly an option, and that's part of the reason why you send players out on loan. If they're not in the kind of immediate plans, you go out there, you get experience, and I think that was the one thing Warburton was a big advocate of, is sending these players out on loan to get the experience. So, you know, if they're buying the goals and they're playing very well, I don't see why they can't try and see if they can cut the loan short. I don't know if there'll be compensation involved in that or not, or it's just a straight thing that we can recall at any time. So So the one other story I've got here is Pedro Caixinha has got Cruz Azul to the Mexican Cup final, and he's actually only 1 point off the top spot in the league. So
there you go.
You know, he had great ideas, and I think one of these things that he was he given enough time? I don't know. I think he had lost the dressing room, and I think that was the key point. I think as soon as you lose the dressing room, though, and I think that's it. And again, it goes back to there was disruptive people in that dressing room, and I don't think he had the ability to control them. And obviously, we've spoke at length at who these disruptive people were or could have been, and they're no longer there now. So had he had this kind of dressing room, it might have been a different story for him. But
the media as well, Derek, the media play a huge part in this, and they basically treated Pedro like a clown that had no idea what he was doing, and they had a lot of influence, unfortunately, whereas the media up here with Steven Gerrard, just because of who he is, I don't think would dare to try the same shit that they did with Pedro. And I do think that Pedro was quite unlucky, and as you say, Derek, he lost the dressing room, and that's, you know, eventually what got him the bullet, you know. But you know, if we look back, we had some fantastic performances under him as well. But it wasn't going to be. It was a risk that we took, and it didn't work. We were all hoping it would, and it didn't. And you know, we wish him all the best. I think he was genuinely a nice guy, and he tried his best, didn't he? But it didn't work. And again, we got probably one of the most embarrassing results in our history under his tenure as well. And, you know, compare that to what we're doing now, it's like night and day. So all the best to him, but, you know, I don't think we'll ever see him back anywhere near us or for Scottish football again. So,
of note, a very interesting, you know, person's come at the end of his loan deal, which was Carlos Peña. So
yes,
I think we both have said that the guy has got an immense amount of talent. Some of the goals
Definitely.
He scored was just out of nothing, and how he scored them as well. If he's managed to settle his kind of demons off the field, which I believe he kind of has he not, from the last reports we were given, bring him back.
He's certainly playing week in, week out, Derek, you know, in that league. I don't know how many goals are that he scored or whatever, but he's certainly playing. If he's playing, it means that he's got himself back to full fitness. And it just really, if, you know, Steven Gerrard could get the best out of him, I don't think we'll see him back, Derek. I really don't. I think there'll be something will happen and he'll sever all ties. I don't think he'll want to come back, but who knows, stranger things have happened, but certainly he was a goal threat in that I think he was best described as being a striker who played in midfield, and that was kind of what, when you watched him, that was kind of what it was. He could be anonymous in games, but he would always be a goal threat.
Yeah, as long as he washes and mails his Rangers shorts back to us,
exactly,
covered in bogies. So, man tasered because he couldn't stop shagging at a car exhaust.
Where do you get these from?
I keep telling you, I've got my sources. An American man has been sentenced to a year of probation after he was found guilty of a lewd and lascivious act, I think that's how you pronounce that, in which he repeated to try and penetrate the tailpipe of a car. 24-year-old Scott Ryan Malik decided that he absolutely had to penetrate the exhaust of a car on 1st of May earlier this year. In fact, so intent was he on the course of action that the police eventually had to taser him and to take him to hospital to stop him.
My God.
He was apparently heavily intoxicated at the time of the incident.
What a fucking weirdo. My God. Right enough, you hear of folk being in love with their cars, right enough, Derek, but that's for vegetating a step too far, eh?
Yep. Well, in all honesty, though, that he's a rank amateur compared with Edward Smith from Washington, a self-confessed mechaphile. I don't even know if that's an actual thing, but he said that he's someone who is sexually attracted to cars, and he has said he says he's had sex with more than 1,000 cars.
Oh my God.
And an attack helicopter.
Was that a chopper?
Hey.
Whoa.
Some guys look at boobs and bums on beautiful women. I look at the front and rear of beautiful cars, so he says.
Oh, dear. So fucking weirdos, eh? There really is.
I go a little bit beyond appreciating the beauty of a car to the point where it feels like an expression of love. I write poetry about cars. I sing to them and talk to them like a girlfriend. I'm not sick. Cars are just my preference.
And then I give them my special polish to put on.
You take that too far, though.
Exactly, I did, aye. Okay.
So, on that note. Oh,
aye, on that note, it's been a shit week, Derek, it really has.
So, we're glad we're here to cheer you up. So, as ever, you can check us out on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/iReadyPod. Our Twitter handle is @iReadyPod. We have, obviously, our YouTube page, which you might be listening to this on, as well as our Podbean page, our Instagram page, and obviously our website as well, which is iReadyPodcast.wordpress.com. So certainly spread the word as ever. Let us know. Hi to any Celtic fans that are listening. Thanks for bumping our numbers up. If you want to leave comments, that's absolutely fine, but you'll just get no reply whatsoever, or we'll just delete you and block you. So that's great. So thanks for listening, and goodbye.
Yes, folks. Things can only get better. Goodbye.
And the stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.
Manchester, brace yourself. Rangers are coming!
D-ream.
There you go.
Bye.